The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Tov, yeah, all good. Thank you very much. I was just interested to read Jonathan Pollard last week making a plea to Prime Minister Netanyahu, saying that he feels he's unable to take care of his wife, who apparently is suffering from aggressive cancer, because of the fact that he's got these restrictions on his movements and he's not allowed to go outside in the evenings during particular hours at night. And he's once again appealed to Netanyahu to turn to President Trump to try to release the terms of his parole, so that apparently he has more freedom of movement. Still living in New York, of course, he hasn't been able to leave New York. But a very heartfelt plea from Jonathan Pollard. Interesting story.
Do you think that, and of course Jonathan Pollard was the American, is the American who was found guilty of spying for Israel many, many years ago. He's been in jail and now released to, but he's pretty much under house arrest, isn't he?
He has freedom of movement during daytime hours. But I think he has a nighttime curfew, so at night he's obliged to be in his apartment. But I think he is free to move around pretty much during the day. But the problem is that his computers are being monitored and his phone's being monitored, and he effectively can't get a job because of the restrictions on his movement and on the fact that every single piece of electronic information that he has access to needs to be monitored by the authorities. So he wouldn't be able to work on a computer, for example, at a place of employment which isn't being monitored by the authorities. So he's unemployable effectively. And now he's got this issue of his wife's illness, which has just made things a little worse for him.
Do you think there's any chance that Trump will release his some of these restrictions?
Well, Pollard and his wife would dearly like to come and live in Israel. Yeah. That has been their stated objective from even before Pollard was released, and certainly has been reinforced since his release. The U.S. successive U.S. administrations have been very, very stringent upon Pollard. First of all, denying him parole, and then, of course, putting these very, very strict parole restrictions on him. It's not clear what the Trump administration's view on this is. What we do know is that up until now, Trump has not changed anything, and he's obviously forced to take advice from the relevant authorities. And it seems like, at least within the defense establishment in the United States, they're still holding a very, very severe view on Jonathan Pollard and what he did and what he could still do, what sort of a risk he presents if he's restrictions were to be released. We would all like to think that Jonathan Pollard can eventually come and live in Israel, as he would like to do. But at the moment, that doesn't seem to be on the cards.
All right. Moving on to Netanyahu. There are numerous reports that Prime Minister Netanyahu was on the verge of firing Minister for Transportation Bezalel Smotrich from the cabinet, even though this now has not happened. Why would he want to fire him? Obviously, Smotrich, we've reported on. He said some very, very controversial things over the last while. But what happened now?
Yes, he seems to have attracted a lot more attention than the Minister for Transportation would really warrant under these circumstances. And of course, the election that is now quite near, just another month or so away, is obviously a very significant point. But Bezalel Smotrich, we spoke yesterday about this, the concert which the ultra-Orthodox community was hoping to hold in Afula, and which they wanted to impose segregation, gender segregation on all participants. And Smotrich has come out being very, very critical of the court that decided that imposed gender segregation was not appropriate and could not be imposed upon the audience that attended that concert. And he's really, really been critical not only of the court, but he even came out calling Prime Minister Netanyahu weak and with zero leadership. Those were exactly the words that he used in criticizing the Prime Minister on this particular issue, but also on a number of different issues. And that would be a strange kind of comment for someone like Smotrich to make, when Netanyahu effectively is his boss for now while he's serving in the cabinet, and that Netanyahu could, if he wished to, simply fire him from the cabinet and demote him, you know, down the ranks of someone who's not in the government at all. And I would have thought that from a point of view of Smotrich, he would prefer for now at least to be in the government rather than to be outside of the government. But it seems as if, though, with the election campaign looming large in the distance, that it is probably more important for Smotrich to be making public statements, whatever they are, about anything that's going, just to keep him in the news, rather than to think about being politically correct and being a little bit more respectful towards the government, towards the Prime Minister, towards various people. Because, you know, some of the issues that he's choosing to criticize the Prime Minister on are really not that fundamental. Okay, if it was really a fundamental major issue that, you know, attracted the attention of a large sector of the population and was really, you know, critical to the security or to the economy of our country or to the basic fabric of our country, then I would say by all means have your say, say what you think. Don't hold anything back if you think that the Prime Minister is not behaving appropriately or making the right decisions. Certainly have your say. But in this particular situation, we're finding that Smotrich is having a say, even on things which I at least consider to be not that of not of fundamental importance to what's going on in the country. But I think it's all about the elections and all about being in the news and all about making sure that your face is there and your name is there so that people don't forget you. And so I think that this is what it's about. And I think equally so, you know, the Prime Minister would have come out threatening. I suspect that what's happened is that the Prime Minister probably didn't really have the intention to fire him, but sent out a little snippet of information into the public domain saying, you know, you could be fired, and just warning that, you know, he was thinking about firing him, even though it didn't ultimately happen. But I think that also, you know, we all understand that firing Smotrich right now might not work in Netanyahu's favor where the election is concerned. Smotrich, of course, made sure that he stayed out of the new right-wing coalition that was put together underneath Ayelet Shaked's leadership. And so he has launched what's called the Yamina Party. That's the party that he's now given a name to try to unite those who are on the right of politics, but outside of that Ayelet Shaked grouping. Yeah, he's obviously just trying to stay in the news. He's trying to keep his face and his name up there as much as possible. Overall, I think it's probably quite damaging because the issues that he's making statements about are probably not helping his overall public standing at all. So I just wonder whether he has any sort of filter at all and where he's giving consideration to what people might genuinely be thinking about some of the ridiculous things that he's choosing to make statements about.
Absolutely. An international naval exercise involving 11 countries and led by the Israeli Navy was concluded yesterday. What's the purpose of this exercise?
Well, the official purpose of the exercise, if you read what's written in the press, says that this is all about trying to simulate what could be a major earthquake and a tsunami in this area, and the fact that the Israeli Navy, and indeed cooperation with other navies, would be critical because there is the view that says that Israel may well be cut off from all land accesses because of the fact that, of course, on the north side, Lebanon and Syria, there is no way of getting through due to the enemy states that exist there, and that Jordan and Egypt on the other, on the eastern and the southern borders may well also be affected by an earthquake, which may impair access to Israel or from Israel in the event of some major event taking place. And so therefore the only access that Israel will have will be via the sea. And it's interesting that, as you say, a number of different navies have been involved, including the navies of Greece, France, and the US, who all sent vessels, naval vessels, to this exercise, while other countries, including Germany, Italy, Canada, Chile, and Cyprus, sent individuals, representatives, to be involved in the exercise and to witness it and to give their point of view in doing whatever the simulations are. But of course, in the background, and we can't ignore this, is all of the shenanigans in the Persian Gulf and particularly in the Straits of Hormuz and discussions about the fact that the Israeli Navy has signed up to offer assistance to that group of countries that are trying to put together a some sort of a protection force for oil vessels in particular that are sailing through the Straits of Hormuz to protect them from potential attack by Iran. We've already seen Iran trying to attack and even succeeding in some cases in taking over oil vessels, oil tankers that are sailing through that part of the world. And of course, Israel's participation in that force has been highly controversial, and the Iranians had a lot to say about that. And I just wonder, without having any basis for this thought whatsoever, I just wonder whether part of this training exercise, which took place focused in the port of Haifa, but I just wonder whether some of it might not also have had that kind of objective in mind about what's going on in the Persian Gulf at the moment.
It would certainly seem that way, given that Iran is making more and more statements about Israel's possible participation, saying that would mean a certain war. I mean, not the fact that they're capturing vessels, that Iran is capturing vessels as they sail through the strait. That's not the issue. But if Israel has to get involved in peacekeeping, well, that would cause war. So clearly Iran is quite concerned that Israel might well be getting involved here.
Absolutely. I mean, the Israeli Navy has really strengthened in recent years and is really operating in places that, you know, we would not even give consideration to. And, you know, without, again, I've got no access to secret information or information which might be able to corroborate what I'm speculating. But I am speculating that Israeli submarine vessels are very, very likely operating in the Persian Gulf area right now, picking up whatever information they can pick up, any intelligence they can find, and of course being available in the event that there might be the need for it. And of course, bearing in mind that Israel, being such a small country, that there is that there is a plan in place that in the event that something major would happen to Israel on the land on the country itself, and that the government might not be able to function for any specific reason, there is a plan in place which says that the government, the rulership over the state of Israel, moves to the naval vessels which are offshore and which would survive ostensibly any major attack that would take place on land. And so I know that kind of a plan has already been formulated. And it's interesting, you know, obviously it's just something that's not discussed in public because one doesn't really want to even contemplate those type of events happening. But the Navy does play a very, very important role, even though we don't get to hear a great deal about it.
Finally, Anthony, a malfunction in the baggage system that took place at Ben Gurion Airport caused major delays to flights. What happened?
Well, the baggage system at Ben Gurion Airport is a critical piece, not only to get bags on and off planes, but it also plays an important role in the security of checking bags before they get loaded onto aeroplanes. And therefore, there is a certain element of sensitivity around the whole baggage handling system. And yesterday, for some reason, the whole thing went down. There was something like 90,000 people who were being affected yesterday. Yesterday was one of the busiest days of the summer season. People taking their holidays, particularly leaving after Tisha B'Av, which a lot of people like to do. And so it was a particularly busy day. It seems to have affected mostly outgoing flights rather than incoming flights, because once bags are already landed in Israel, it seems like from a security point of view, there's a less of a risk, and so people can get their bags without having to be put through all of these security checks. But there were apparently planes taking off yesterday without any bags on board at all due to the malfunction. So this was quite a serious issue. And of course, there is a law in Israel that says that any plane that's delayed more than 2 hours, the operator is obliged to provide the passengers with food and communications and all kinds of things. And if a plane is delayed more than 5 hours, then there's even more recourse that passengers might have, including the possibility of cancelling with full refund, and including being rerouted via another way, via another airline, at the cost of the operator that was supposed to have taken them in the first place. So obviously, the operators were very keen to get planes off the ground, even if the planes didn't have their bags on board. And it just kind of reminds me of the great comedian George Burns, who once said, I've been to nearly as many places as my baggage. And I think that's probably what was happening yesterday with all the drama. There was something like 10 hours of delays. Finally, it seems as if the system has been resolved. The issues have been resolved. The system is working again. But of course, it's going to take days until the backlog is finally cleared out.
Crazy, crazy. Can only imagine what must have gone on there. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time.